Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not Gwen or Chris, it is just Scraby for the rest of the day. I lied, actually. We do have a big five that I did with Tony, and Michael Flicks and Tony caught up earlier. And they're going to bring you all the high school basketball coverage at 5:40 p.m. So a little bit of an extended Scraby show slash Gwen and Chris show here on 97.3 The Fan. We'll get into that rumor in just a second. But we are not going to do any sort of trivia game right now. I apologize. I do not have any trivia to play. And I've tried to do these games by myself, and they always end up being not very good. So we're just going to skip it today. We'll get back to Chris vs. the Fans tomorrow, and we will go from there. The prize, though, is a grand prize, a shot at the grand prize. Two tickets to New Kids on the Block in Las Vegas on June 26th, a two-night stay at Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com if you're a blockhead. So, winter meetings, day three. And I think these winter meetings were pretty tame. There wasn't crazy news. Like, I remember when the winter meetings were here in San Diego, I think it was 2022. There was all that news of Aaron Judge being in San Diego and then Arson Judge going to the Giants and all that. There was a lot of news about Shohei Ohtani. There was a lot of big names, and there was a lot of news made and rumors made out of the winter meetings. But this year, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, we've only had really three big contracts given out at the winter meetings. Pete Alonso, if you don't know, he signed with the Orioles this morning, 5 years, $155 million. So he is not going to be, obviously, with the Mets anymore. He will be in Baltimore. And then yesterday, you had Kyle Schwarber. And you had Kyle Schwarber signed a 5-year, $150 million deal. And then why am I always forgetting about the last one? I always forget about the last contract that was given out. So let's see. Well, I'm trying to remember the last contract that was given out. Here's another interesting fact about the Kyle Schwarber negotiation process. So apparently the Orioles were really looking for a big bat, because the rumors are that the Orioles matched the Phillies' offer to Kyle Schwarber. So they went in with the 5 years, $150 million that the Phillies ended up paying Kyle Schwarber. And then you have Pete Alonso. So they went right after Pete Alonso. So they were either going to get Kyle Schwarber, or they were going to use their backup plan, which happens to be Pete Alonso, which is not the worst drop-off in the world, because Pete Alonso has power. Maybe not as much power as Kyle Schwarber, but he definitely has power. So I could see why they wanted to go in this direction, and they even gave him $5 million more than Kyle Schwarber. So they were prepared to spend money. Now, a few things came to mind there, because the Orioles just went through a sale of their team, and so you see this new ownership group spending money, which is a good thing, because here in San Diego, we all know there's the sale of the team pending, or at least they're shopping the team. So things could happen, but you might be a little afraid of the future. Will the new owner spend money? this is a good situation for the Orioles. And so I like to see that a new owner comes in and starts spending money for the Orioles. It makes me feel a little bit better about the situation. But also for Kyle Schwarber, here are some of the other offers made to him. You heard that the Reds made an offer. We also heard the Pirates made an offer. But the Reds were at 5 years. However, they were at $125 million. So $25 million less than what he ended up taking. And then the Pirates. Remember when we talked about the Pirates? They were the Pirates were putting their best foot forward and trying to bring in a big generational player to make the Pirates a team for the future. Well, the contract that they reportedly offered was 4 years and $120 million. So it's not like it's a nothing contract, but it's also, you know, yeah, sure, you put in your best foot forward, but if you really wanted to, you should have offered something like the Orioles, $155 million. So I don't buy for one second that the Pirates ever wanted or thought Kyle Schwarber was coming to their team. And I don't know. We talked about it on the Scraby Show last night. Some of these teams, we need a salary floor in baseball. And I explained it much more in depth last night. So if you want to hear that, go to the Scraby Show from December 9th. I think it's around like 6:30 or something. But the salary floor is the problem. Because you have teams, yes, the Pirates did offer 4 years, $120 million. But we all knew that was never going to be taken. And so if you're going to try and get these teams, if there's going to be some sort of playing field, and by the way, the last guy who signed that I forgot was Edwin Diaz. He signed with the Dodgers for $23 million a year over the next three seasons. So if you want the Edwin Diazes of the world to maybe go to a team like the Reds or the Pirates, or if you want Kyle Schwarber to go to one of these teams, you have to make a salary floor in baseball. And the reason would be because if you're forcing these teams to at least spend a certain amount of money, then it will open up more opportunities for the bigger name players that are going to make big money to have more offers. Right now, I don't know this for sure, but there was like two or three teams in on Edwin Diaz. Maybe if Edwin Diaz, if there was a salary floor and a team needed to spend, maybe a team like the Pirates would have signed Edwin Diaz to a three-year, $69 million deal because they, A, needed to get to the salary floor, and B, it'll make them competitive. But that's how I'm trying to make it competitive. I'm trying to make it so that, because the top teams that are spending, there's only really four or five teams that are spending big money. The Dodgers, Yankees, you got the Blue Jays, you got the Rangers had a ton on the books, but you get what I'm saying. There's only a couple teams at the top, not a couple teams, like three or four teams at the top that can afford to do this. But when you are forcing teams to spend money to get to a salary floor, I think some of these players would spread out across baseball instead of all ending up in the same spot, which is what we're seeing right now with the Dodgers. And also last night, I said, I'm not going to complain about the Edwin Diaz thing. Because last year I saw firsthand that even if you have or purchase a super team, it doesn't mean that you're going to automatically win a division title. The Padres were a game up, I believe, August 23rd last season. They were a game up on the Dodgers. And I said it before the year ended, and I will continue to think this, but the fact that they did not win that division last year, the National League West, I think it's going to haunt them for a very long time because they had a path to the NLCS, and it didn't have to go through Chicago. They would be home to the Reds, and then they would be playing the Brewers. So that's one of the biggest failures of last year, is that you found yourself in a spot to take the division, and you didn't. And so that's why when I think about Edwin Diaz getting signed by the Dodgers, it's not me being angry that they're signing all the players. It's more like, okay, yeah, that's stinks. That's tough. There's a lot more that you have to go through now in order to win a game against the Dodgers. But at the same time, I mean, we saw Tanner Scott pitch terribly last year. Edwin Diaz is not the model of consistency. He can be all over the place. So that's why I'm not going all in on the it's unfair that the Dodgers are signing these guys, because the Padres at some point need to be able to win games and win games without having to spend the $400 million. Anyway, I never even got to the rumor. I went off in a totally different direction. But here is the rumor that I saw on the chat, and I have no idea how much legs to give this. I'm going to give it very little legs. We're just going to discuss it because I have no idea if this is true. But the rumor was Padres send Mason Miller and they send Xander Bogaerts and his contract to the Mets for Francisco Lindor. Now that sounds pretty decent to me. More than a little bit decent. I'm not the biggest Lindor fan, but I know that he plays baseball very well. And I know that he would be great in this Padres lineup. He would be great in this lineup. Now, you got to think, why would the Mets ever take Xander Bogaerts' contract? And by the way, I believe Xander Bogaerts has to sign off on this. But why would they take his contract? Well, the Mets are paying Francisco Lindor $32.5 million from 2026 through 2031. So yes, you are taking on a bigger contract, but you're getting a guy like Lindor who is an all-star each and every year, and you're getting him at the age of 32 instead of, and I know that Xander's around the same age, but you're getting a guy who's still producing at the level that of money he is making. $32.5 million, rounded up, is a ton of money. But so is the $25.454 million that Xander Bogaerts is going to make from 2026 through 2033. And Mason Miller, if you were to, you might say, why would you trade Mason Miller, Scraby? You said that he needs to be the closer of the Padres. And I still believe that. But if you're going to be able to unload a Xander contract and you're going to be able to bring a player like Francisco Lindor here, I don't know that is such a terrible thing for the Padres. They would be able to have a little bit more flexibility because, quite honestly, I like Xander Bogaerts. He did turn it on in the end of last year, but I don't think that he's going to be producing until 2033. Now, Francisco Lindor probably won't produce until 2031, but we're seeing a better player right now than Xander Bogaerts in totality. So if that rumor did come true, I wouldn't hate it that much. And the closer situation for the Padres, they have options if they were to package Mason Miller and something to get Francisco Lindor. They could go Jeremiah Estrada, which I'm not the biggest Jeremiah Estrada closer fan. I think he's better in the seventh inning or eighth inning, but you can also have Jason Adam, and you could have Adrian Morejon. He could close as well. Or who knows, you get another guy in, it could be a closer as well. But I wouldn't like to see Mason Miller go, but if it was for a deal that unloaded the Xander contract and also brought a player like Francisco Lindor here to San Diego, I think that's an okay deal. The window is now. If you listen to the Scraby Show, the window is now. And so, yes, you're trading for a 32-year-old making $32 million for the foreseeable future. But if you can get a World Series this year in 2026, or next year, I guess, 2026, I think that is worth it. You got to strike while the iron's hot. We don't know what's going to happen with this whole sale thing. And that's another part of the rumor that it puts a damper on the rumor that the Padres selling the team, because I don't know, would a potential buyer see a Francisco Lindor contract at $32 million a year better than a Xander contract for $25.45 million a year? I'm not sure. But it's interesting to think about. And it's fun to talk about, because when Kevin Acey reports there could be a huge blockbuster trade in our future this offseason, that's where rumors and minds start going, and things like Mason Miller and Xander Bogaerts for Francisco Lindor get talked about. So don't know if it's going to happen. It's likely not to happen, but I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it, but maybe find someone else other than Mason Miller to give up. I know he's part of the, he's a big part of that package, but ugh, I would hate to give up on Mason Miller. I would. All right, Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris. Chris is going to be back tomorrow. Tony will rejoin me for the Big Five at 4:40. Tony and Michael Flicks at 5:40. When we get back, though, AJ Preller has admitted something I never thought he would admit. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwynn and Chris until tomorrow. They'll be back 20 minutes. Tony's back for the Big Five. What do we? We have a lot of interesting topics in the Big Five today. It's a little all over the place, but Philip Rivers. If you haven't seen him, he's already practicing with the Colts. So I saw him earlier throwing passes for the Colts in 2025. It does seem like he's going to start, so we talk about that. Also, it's Notre Dame is just taking a beating by everyone. Everyone is making fun of Notre Dame right now, mainly because of the football team and the AD and the football team, like, not going to a bowl game, taking their ball and going home after being left out of the college football playoff. We'll talk about that because other coaches, I don't know that this coach was actually taking a dig at Notre Dame, but this coach did not shy away from making a point in his whole thing. Also, the NFL is gearing up to put a bunch of money into a new sport, and we'll talk about that in the Big Five. But all guests on 97.3 The Fan, join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Now, before we get into what AJ Preller said that I never thought he would say, I read a Kevin Acey article. He put in there that Albert Pujols has spoken about his interview process with the Padres, and it doesn't seem like there's any ill will there. It doesn't seem like there's any anger or hostility or anything like that, frayed feelings, because he said it was a good experience and they helped him to learn what he needs to do in the future to when he's doing an interview for a manager job. So he wants to be a manager. He said he wants to do the process again. So that's a good thing that Albert Pujols is not mad at everyone for making him do two interviews. One of them, I believe, was like 8 hours and then ended up choosing Craig Stammen, who was actually one of the guys interviewing candidates for the job. But Craig Stammen and Craig we trust, as Gonzo says on the chat. Okay, so at the winter meetings today, AJ Preller, he's been asked about this probably 1 million times in the last week. And it's, are you going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr.? Are you going to trade him? Where is he going to be traded? Are you listening to offers? Is he untouchable? He's had all the questions. And he's answered all the questions the same way. Until now. because AJ Preller was doing a scrum with the media earlier. He was asked about the untouchable Tatis. He gives a big long answer about how he's a great player, all that stuff. But then it was followed up, that answer was followed up with this, and then you'll hear what I'm talking about with AJ Preller.
So is he untouchable?
Dennis said he doesn't like that term, so. but he's somebody that, again, we're not talking about. So however you want to view that, if you want to say that's untouchable, you can say that.
Has that stopped games from?
So there you go. He said, if you want to say that's untouchable, they're not talking about him to other teams. So if you want to say that's untouchable, then you could say that's untouchable. But I like that AJ Preller is giving us an indication and kind of calming the nerves of all of us. Now, I know that there are some people out there that are thinking, oh, this is the kiss of death. This just means they're getting ready to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. Again, I've been saying it leading up to this comment. I don't think it's going to happen. Not this year. Not next year. I just don't think it's going to happen. Fernando is way too good of a player. He's one of those players that if you trade him, you're not going to get what he provides back in a trade. So AJ Preller, so far, this winter meetings, this offseason, has admitted more than I think I've ever heard him admit, because he said the other day they're going to keep Mason Miller in the bullpen instead of converting him to a starter. He's saying now that they're not talking about Tatis to other teams. So these are indications that I like. Instead of us sitting here and have to guess and talk about the Mason Miller thing for the rest of the offseason, we can now move forward and talk about Mason Miller being in the bullpen, and we can forget about the dreams of him becoming a starter, which I was never a fan of anyway. You have a guy like Mason Miller who can end up being the best closer in the game, in my opinion, and you have him for cheap and you have him for a long time, so why would you move him to the starting rotation? Well, I don't need to explain this anymore, because AJ has come out and said that Mason Miller is going to be staying in the bullpen. I like that. Gave me direction. It gave all of us direction. We're not filling in the blanks anymore. We're able to go with some real source information. So he said that, and then the whole thing about Tatis, I don't think he would ever say that in the past. Maybe he's just tired of fielding the questions, which honestly, I would probably myself be a little tired of fielding those questions, especially since you've been quoted in many different places saying the same thing you've been telling everybody else. So maybe in this case, AJ was like, you know what? I could put an end to this right now. And he kind of did. He, by saying that Fernando is quote-unquote, or not quote-unquote, but he said you can call him untouchable, that makes me feel better about how this offseason is going to go. Because I don't have to worry about Fernando Tatis Jr. being traded. I have floated that idea around to many different people of what would happen to you as a fan if Fernando was traded. A lot of people would be very upset. Very upset. And I would be one of them. So I don't want to see him go anywhere. But so far, let's go. We're 2 for 2. And AJ Preller giving us information that we needed so that we don't fill in the blanks this entire offseason. And I will take it. 100% take it. All right, Tony will be back with me for the Big Five here in about 10, 12 minutes. So stay right there. Where are the Padres? Where in the world are the Padres going to be playing in 2026? They have an international destination game they announced. We'll talk about it next. Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris. They'll be back tomorrow. 97.3 The Fan. Just looking through some of the chats. If you want to watch the show, you can. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, or you can search Gwynn and Chris SD. If you go in that YouTube, the Gwynn and Chris YouTube, we have a special chat set up for everyone who wants to chat together. But here's a chat from our 97.3 The Fan YouTube. Adam Paul said that this was verified by Woods this morning, so I feel good about that if Woods is verifying. Ty Musgrave says, definitely don't think Miller plus Bogarts for Lindor makes sense. It would have to be good young players, controllable for cheap, and probably filling more holes than they're creating. I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I don't. But if you're a team like the Mets looking, it seems like, to shed a little bit of salary because they pay a lot of money to miss the playoffs last year. Let me say that out loud. They paid a lot of money to miss the playoffs last year. But I think the Bogarts contract is, and by the way, Citi Field will probably fit Xander Bogarts much better than Petco Park. But the Bogarts contract is lower and less left on it, I believe, than Francisco Lindor. You're paying Francisco Lindor, the Mets are, $7 million more a year than Xander Bogarts. So it's a win-win, I think, where a team is getting rid of Lindor's contract. They're getting a closer like Mason Miller so that they don't need to go and spend money on Robert Suarez. And they're also getting Bogarts, who can take Lindor's spot at shortstop, and they would be paying less for him over time, which I think may be attractive to the Mets. But if you're looking at it in just the players' situation, like if you're just looking at it on paper with just the players listed, no contract details, you're right. That is not enough to move Lindor. But when you have the intricacies of the contract, it makes it a little bit more digestible, I think. Roland says, Bogart's contract, the hangman's noose. I can't disagree. I'm not saying, I mean, Xander has not performed up to his contract standard. He was pretty good for the Padres down the stretch last year. But that is going to be one of the most difficult things to get out of going forward, I believe. All right, it's Big Five time. Tony Gwynn Jr. is going to be back with me. And the Michigan head coach, by the way, he was fired. More and more is coming out about Sherrone Moore. No pun intended. So we'll talk about that on the other side, too. But here is traffic, then the Big Five.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Gotta turn on the mic, Tony. That's been my thing this week. I don't understand why I've forgotten when to turn on a microphone.
It's quite the conundrum.
It
man.
Is
I
quite
can't
the conundrum.
Out.
We got lots to talk about. We'll get into a big scheduling announcement today for the Padres. We'll also get into Philip Rivers. We'll get into the NFL backing flag football. And then everybody is having their fun with Notre Dame these days. So we'll get into what one
so
coach
many
said.
People, as I said earlier, have reveled in the in the fact that they have this opening to jump on Notre Dame. They've been, a lot of people have been thinking of these things for a long time.
Yeah.
And they have been given free rein.
They have. I mean, they've been sliding by without a conference forever. They've had this NBC deal forever. Now people are getting back at them. And one coach
It might
did.
Be a jealousy thing, but they certainly are feeling away. People.
I'm fine with
people,
that.
People, they say, are feeling away.
People? Really? How many people, Tony? I've heard that question before when regarding people.
Yes.
All right. Let's get started with
number five.
What you're going to be doing in the end of April, Tony. For the third time, Major League Baseball will stage a series in Mexico City, and on Saturday, April 25th and Sunday, April 26th of 2026, the Diamondbacks and Padres are going to square off in Estadio Alfredo Harpelú Baseball, the league announced today. You may remember the altitude is over 7,000 feet, so the ball flies pretty far. We saw a crazy game 2 years ago. But, Tony, do you think these international series in the middle of a season for 2 days are worth it?
Yes, I do. I think that
yes, I do.
Major League Baseball benefits from this. In terms of personally, it wears you out.
Yeah.
Going, doing a customs thing, you know, landing, trying to stay from getting sick as I did last year or
yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
A few of us did. But yeah, no, overall, it's a good thing for Major League Baseball. And I understand why you do it. And I'm happy that I get the opportunity to go.
Yeah, that is cool that you get the opportunity to go. You and Jesse were like rock stars there.
I just remember in that particular trip, I think we went to Chicago first.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And then flew
Ooh.
To Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right there.
Because it was really cold, and then it was really hot.
And dry.
And yeah, it was altitude. The ball was like, it was like old school course.
Let's see. You will be.
What we got before?
Ooh,
don't tell.
It is a big old road trip. I'm pretty sure it's Colorado to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm not very excited
you know,
about that.
I don't even want to think about the schedule.
It's closer
at this
than
point.
Chicago, so.
It is, but you could flip a coin what the weather is going to be in Colorado that time. It's
That's
April, right?
True. Yeah, April 25th.
It literally
26th.
Could be 75 or 35
yeah.
with snow.
Do I think the series are worth it? I think if they're going to do this, they need to go down there for longer. It seems like 2 days going to... Tony's giving me the eyes, but 2 days going to an international city just to turn around and fly home. I understand that they need to get this in, but it just seems like so much work for two games.
I think it's important to remember how Major League Baseball travels. It's not, you know, you're not going through the regular
That's
airport
true.
Where... I could see that being not worth the 2 days. Like,
yeah.
Everything is expedited, so
it's true.
It makes it a little bit easier.
That is a good point, because I'm thinking of me standing in customs lines for, like, 4 hours or
100%,
something.
100%.
Like I did
at
Heathrow one time. That was brutal. In July, the Chargers signed quarterback Philip Rivers to a one-day retirement contract. What connection, if any, did that development have to the ability of Philip Rivers to sign a contract with the Colts? None whatsoever. Apparently, it wasn't an official contract. It was just a ceremonial contract. That's because the Chargers had their full allotment of 90 players under contract. And if it had been a real contract, he would have had to been moved to the reserve retired list. And if he hadn't been released from that designation before the trade deadline, Rivers would have been required to pass through waivers before signing with the Colts. So basically, all of this just worked out for the Colts as they really needed it to work out. I'm up first. How do you think he will play? Because he is going to play. They did not do all this just to bring him in for a practice squad. I have no idea how he's going to play. But the inner me knows that Phillip's a competitor, knows that he's not going to go out there if he doesn't think he could play. I wouldn't be surprised if he just like lit up the NFL for a couple weeks. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. What do you think, Tony? How do you think he's going to play?
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if he lit it up, but As much as I want to believe in the spirit of Philip Rivers, I am 43 myself. And, you know, Philip's looking kind of thick these days when I saw
him. He's 44.
And he's older. I just, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. He's never been one that was going to run away from a defensive lineman that was had him in his grasp.
No.
However, it's been how many years since he...
2020 was the last time he played.
5 years.
Yeah.
It is Philip, so I won't put anything past him, but...
There's no way he's doing this if he doesn't think he can play. I don't see him as that guy.
Listen, I can't say that. Many athletes are delusional. He would just be the latest one.
I know.
If indeed he can't. I'm not going to say he can't, though, because I'm rooting for him.
If this is his way to a Super Bowl, this is one of the most incredible stories in sports history, or American sports history.
It really would be. We would be talking about this for a while in terms of him. If he were to lead them to a Super Bowl from here, that would be one of the wildest stories ever.
And I want it to happen, even though my team would have to suffer in the process. So if the 49ers are not in the Super Bowl, I'm cheering for the Colts.
Your team is not going to Super Bowl.
What are you talking about, bro?
Keep it real.
They're really good.
Number three.
All right, Notre Dame thinks they are doing the right thing by pulling out of any bowl bid this season. Now, the Vanderbilt head coach, Clark Lee, was asked in a presser yesterday, what?
You got the two last names mixed up there?
Yeah, he's got two first names.
Two last names.
Clark Lee was asked in his presser yesterday if his team ever considered not playing in the bowl game. Here's what he said.
That's okay.
We just learned Notre Dame declined their bowl bid. Was there any thought to that going on here at Vanderbilt today?
No. I mean, I can't speak to their process, but we love playing football here, and to realize that we get a chance to close out a special season with a special.
Right, I don't really care about the rest of it. I just wanted
you just
to
wanted
say,
to be messy. That's
we
what you
love
to do.
Playing football here. People are just taking their shots, and I'm not even going to ask you about Mr. Coach Clark Lee. Notre Dame is leaning into this, and people are just giving them the business, which they should. Tony, do you think we see Notre Dame backtrack at some point?
No. Now, we may see them hop into a conference, but we certainly won't see them backtrack. Would you say Clark Lee?
Clark Lee.
I did want to make sure I didn't mix it up. Clark Lee kind of broke it down in its most simplest terms. There are a bunch of players that enjoy playing football, which is ultimately why you got into it to begin with. Yes, you want to win, but you also enjoy playing the game. And so, you know, I think it may not even have been a shot. He was asked a question, but because of how Notre Dame has handled this, everything is going to seem like a shot because that's going to be at the front of everybody's mind. Oh, they love to play football. You know who doesn't love to play football?
Notre Dame.
I shouldn't say that. You know who would seem not to enjoy playing football? Notre Dame. So, I don't know. I don't know that it was a shot, but it wouldn't be the first one in the last, I don't know, 4 days that have taken place.
I mean, this dude, Pete Bavakwa.
He keeps going, doesn't he?
He is digging himself a deeper hole. He keeps going in these weird directions of, like, they smeared us on social media. He doesn't understand
ACC's thing. And
I bet
see if
you
I can find
they
it.
Deleted some of that stuff.
You think they deleted it?
I think he was also talking about, as you guys have mentioned many times, the replaying of games on the ACC network.
Okay, that was on a network.
Yeah,
we acknowledge that. They acknowledge that.
I don't know that.
But what is the?
Who knows, Tony? It could. It really could be anything that he's pointing to right now. But you don't think they're going to backtrack? I think at some point might have to.
Why? How? Why?
Not anytime. They're not playing in a bowl. Those are already given
wouldn't
out.
That actually be backtracking?
I think backtracking would come out and be like, listen, we understand we looked a little babyish.
And you think that's going to happen?
It's probably not going to happen. But I think at some point this press is going to be so bad for Notre Dame. And so many people are going to make fun of them. They're going to have to say something.
They don't care.
You don't think they care at all about how their program is being seen right now?
I don't think they think they're in the wrong, and I don't think that in their silo, they're hearing that they're wrong. I mean, yes, in the national media, but they don't care about the national stuff.
I guess you're right. Urban Meyer said that he thinks that some of the players, if you asked him, half the players wouldn't want to go play in the bowl game, which, how do you know that, Urban Meyer? I don't know that you know that, Urban Meyer.
Maybe Urban's right, but they didn't. They should say that. Then it would actually be plausible for why you didn't want to do it. If you came out and said, hey, the players...
We took a vote.
They decided that they didn't want to play. Okay, cool. But that's not kind of what it seems like.
No. It seems like the AD made this decision.
Or I should at least say, we don't know that. They haven't put that out there for us to kind of gnaw on.
I will say this is one of the most fun stories that we had throughout the year, is Notre Dame crying.
It has been quite
It's
fun.
Been really good.
Number two.
The NFL is gearing up for the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, and with the event just a few years away, the league voted Wednesday to fund and launch a professional flag football league, the NFL has announced. The move allows them to enter into an agreement with a partner and invest up to $32 million in the league. NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent said the move was a, quote, critical step in establishing flag football as a premier global sport, end quote. My question, I'm up first, why are they so into flag football? My answer, money. But my second answer is, and this is a conspiracy, do they think that football is going to go away as we know it today and it's going to become a flag football league and they want to be at the forefront of flag football leagues around the world? That's my conspiracy. There's no other reason why they're so into flag football. I don't understand it. They're not investing money into something that won't make them money. What do you think, Tony? Why are they so into flag football now?
I disagree with that premise.
Okay.
I think that it's a optics, a looking good situation here. Here, a lot of kids now and parents are way more comfortable letting their young kids play flag football and holding off from the contact as long as possible. So if I'm the NFL and I see that flag football is getting bigger, it will eventually be a collegiate sport at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It's headed that direction.
I agree.
And so why wouldn't you want to support something that I think probably makes your sport look a little bit better if you're supporting it, right? It's almost like what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like an avenue into tackle football, right? You don't want the young kids banging their heads as their heads is developing. Play flag. It gets you at least ready with the movements, especially the way the game is played now. They've put into the rules a safer game. It's you know, you hear NFL players say it all the time. It's a glorified flag football. You know, you can't touch anybody.
That's true.
And so I think it's a good look for them to invest in it. Yes, of course, I'm sure they're going to make some money off it. They don't do things unless they are. However, I think this one is probably kind of fits well for the image that they're trying to portray in terms of safety.
I buy that more than my conscrapacy.
I mean, because your conscrapacy is
My conscrapacy definitely needed work. I understand that.
Usually does.
I don't know about that.
Usually
they're figured out, but not this one.
Hmm.
One.
The New York Metropolitans let Pete Alonso walk, as we talked about earlier, without ever making an offer to retain him, Tony. League sources told The Athletic Monday, after he agreed with the Baltimore Orioles, the Mets held some interest in bringing Alonso back, but they were uncomfortable going to the lengths and the figures that he ended up with, 5 years and $155 million. So, you're up first, Tony. Is this insulting to not be offered a contract by the Mets if you're Pete Alonso? Just straight up not offering him.
He shouldn't be insulted. I think, I don't think he is. He probably already, if that's the case, he probably knew that's where it was headed, which is why he said, I mean, I think it was minutes after they got eliminated, I'm opting out of my deal. So I think he already kind of knew.
This isn't news to him.
Right. He already kind of knew what it was with the Mets. But good for him, man. He cashed in. He took the deal with the opt out, understanding if I ball out, there's one team out there that's going to pay me. And not only did they pay him, the prediction was Kyle Schwarber would get more.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up out gaining Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Shout out to Scotty Boras once again, pulling a rabbit out of his hat. Although, I don't think he pulled a rabbit out of his hat. I said this yesterday. It was kind of confusing to me why so many teams weren't willing to pay him, considering the consistency in which he's done the thing. I get he doesn't play good defense, but you ain't paying Pete Alonso to play defense. As long as he gets the ball from third, short, and second, 99% of the time, which he does, you're fine. He's not going to make any, you know, world-breaking plays at first base. And he's certainly not going to run the bases like he's Vince Coleman. Okay? So those were never things that you were hoping for. But I'll tell you what he is going to do. He's going to drive in you 100. He's going to hit you about anywhere between 35 and 50. And he's going to be that guy consistently. So kudos to Pete Alonso. He shouldn't feel insulted. I don't think it's an insult. I think these two, the time had come. The Mets seemingly like they didn't value him the way that he should have been valued, in my opinion. And Baltimore said, you know what? We do.
Yeah, I like that. And I like guys that take contracts, that like prove it contracts. And he proved it. He proved that he can make this money. So I guess at first I was thinking about it from my perspective, which, yeah, I would be a little insulted. But you're right. He's known this for a long time. They probably told him like months ago about this. So I guess he's not that insulted at all. But Pete Alonso out of the National League, which is good with me. He's in the American League now. American League East. And he doesn't have to go too far.
I do see. Listen, it's starting to shape itself up in the American League East. My man was crying poor.
Steinbrenner.
We've seen the Orioles. We've seen the Red Sox. We've seen the Blue Jays all make some pretty splashy moves. Nothing yet out of the Yanks.
Yeah. Cody Bellinger and that whole riddle that Scott Boras.
He's got a lot of teams interested.
Do you think that he... Never mind. No, it's a bad joke. All right. When we get back, I'm going to update you on everything that happened at the winter meetings today. We still got Michael Flicks to go at 5:40. He'll talk about the high school basketball scene here in San Diego. So stick with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.